Welcome to the Feel Good Parenthood Podcast, your go-to mum crew for all things parenting. I'm Courtney, the no-nonsense, cut-the-fluff, multitasking gin enthusiast.
I'm Steph, your source for zero bullshit advice, coffee lover and eye rolls.
And I'm Emma, the woo mama of the group, juggling snacks and deadlines. We're keeping it sweary and messy with a good dose of tips and tricks that you can actually try at home. Because let's face it, if we can't laugh at the chaos, we are probably going to cry.
So grab your coffee, hide in the closet if you need to, no judgment from us, and join us every week for your dose of feel-good parenthood. Let's dive in.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Feel Good Parenthood podcast. You have got Steph here again, and I am once again joined by my good friend, Jess. Jess joined us a little while back to chat about exercise in the postpartum area, and we kind of got into some bits and pieces. So if you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen. But today we're going to chat about Jess's journey into becoming a mother. So Jess is like one of the fittest people I know, or you know, has been a period. So Jess was into like the female bodybuilding and stuff like that prior to having her daughter. And that actually led to some complications with her falling pregnant. Like, she had to basically completely overhaul her lifestyle in order to have her beautiful little girl. So Jess, like, I'd love to hear, like, if you just want to share that journey with us, that would be awesome.
Yeah, there's a couple of caveats to this one. And I think the first one came down to long-term use of the depot injection, the contraception. So I started, depot is a form of contraception. It actually is probably one of the most harshest ones on the body. You get it every 3 months and it completely stops all your hormones, your progesterone, your estrogen, and God, what's the other one? Anyway, I need a coffee apparently. So it stops, and obviously it stops your period. So it flatlined all your hormones and it was fucking great. I didn't get a period. I the recommendation of 2 years, well beyond that, I went up to probably like 6 or 7 years. Yeah. And then it got, and I, in that time, I also did your bikini bodybuilding. So where I would get into very lean state, then put weight back on to, you know, increase muscle mass. And then in about 2018, I decided to come off the depot injection because I realized, you know, it was too long and I wanted to see if my hormones would come back. And then they didn't. So 12 months after that. And in that time period, like, I got tested every maybe 3 months to find out where the hormones were, and they still weren't doing anything. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's a bit of a concern. And I just palmed it off. And then I went into my next bodybuilding comp, where I probably got the leanest I had ever been in my life. So I got maybe down to maybe 10% body fat, which is like your body will stop producing hormones sub 13%, maybe 15% for I would say most women, because your body will go into a state where, hey, all the nutrients that I'm getting needs to make sure the brain works, needs to make sure the body can move. So it will turn off functions that doesn't need. So parts of the digestive process, uptake of minerals, and your menstrual cycle. So not having hormones to start with, from the depot injection, and then going into a very sharp deficit, which then fostered that lack of environment for childbearing hormones. That was great. But you know, I won some medals, I did all my thing, I looked great, and then I came back out of it, and then that's when I started to realize how important my cycle actually was. I just palmed up, like, who wants a period? Like, they're annoying. They hurt sometimes. It just wasn't something I was about. I was like, God damn it. So that kind of the bodybuilding accentuated this lack of hormones. But regardless, if I didn't have lack of hormones, women who do go through periods of deficit, now you could be 100 kilos and do a 1200 calorie deficit and lose your cycle. So you don't have to be lean. You have to be in a nutrient deficiency to then for your body to stop producing hormones that's needed to facilitate childbearing, or at least an environment that, you know, you can, you know, have a child.
So, can I just ask, like probably what's a really stupid question, but something that sprung to my mind. So like people that are naturally like really very slender, they're probably not going to be at like 10%. Like, is that a thing or is it?
Yeah, it's everyone, obviously everyone's very different.
Yeah.
There are very lean individuals that have their natural cycle very, very good because it comes down to nutrient availability. So they could be lean and be having 2,500 calories and still be lean.
Yeah.
God bless those
lucky
individuals.
Ducks. Yeah.
So it comes down to availability of nutrition or nutrients. So if your body doesn't feel like it should produce hormones because it doesn't have enough nutrition, you will lose your cycle.
Yeah.
And this goes even with not necessarily losing your cycle, but the environment that is now their place for you to become pregnant, what might not be optimized. So you will, if you don't have certain nutrients or minerals that fosters, you know, a healthy egg. And obviously it's sperm as well, we'll talk about eggs. Then it's really going to affect your ability to become pregnant. And for me, it was. So for me to get back my cycle, it took me another, so I was trying for 12 months before my last bodybuilding comp, and then I fucked it royally. Like to the point my hair was falling out because I didn't have enough nutrients in my body. And then I stopped hardcore training for a good period of time. I still trained and I tried to slightly increase my food, but when you've been lean, your brain's like, hey, you don't want to gain weight.
Yeah,
you don't want to eat the food that you need to. Well, be more like, I would say the food that you should be. So I should have been consuming like 2,200 possibly to try and like get my body back to a healthy weight range. And I didn't. Like I was probably, I went from like maybe to 1,400, sorry, so to 1,600, and then I probably stayed at around 1,800 or so for a good period of time because I wanted to be lean essentially. And I was afraid of putting on weight, even though I know in my brain, like I know if I eat more, I'm not going to gain weight, but you're like, even as a coach, and I advise people to eat, it was such a fucked up situation.
Would you say, and this is a really personal question, so feel free to tell me to fuck off, but like, would you say that you almost had an eating disorder, like some real issues around that?
I would say disordered thoughts around food.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say a full-blown eating because that's obviously a very touchy subject, but
But
I would say half the female population have the exact same thing.
Totally, for sure.
So it would be like, you don't want to eat this because you're going to gain weight, or if you
can't eat too much bread.
To an extent, some of those things. And I would say I was living not necessarily an imposter, but I wasn't living to the values that I was coaching my clients on. But then that's also like, well, I need to be this, I need to look a certain way to be respected as a coach.
And
then I needed to act a certain way to be respected as a coach. So it was very conflicting.
I was going to say, what a conflicting place to be when you're realizing that you can't realize your dream of becoming a parent, but at the same time you're in an industry where, you know, to a degree, you're expected to look a certain way. Like, you 100%. Know, nobody will say it, but you know.
And like I had got a coach who was fucking fantastic. And I had also a deficiency of zinc and copper as well, which needed to be addressed. So I had too much zinc, not enough copper. So my zinc levels on my blood's the beacon of everything if you're worrying about your periods. But my zinc was a normal range. My copper was like flatlined. And you need to have a healthy distribution of zinc and copper for this. As well. This is why when you come to GP, they won't look at this healthy range, thick, you're fine. Healthy range, but the disparity of these two minerals is very large. So I worked with the coach to help me get that back in. So I would eat things like livers and stuff like offal because that had the bioavailability of all those nutrients that I needed. So I did all of the things right to try and get it back. Like I did end up eating a lot more food. And then it came to a point where I started doing a lot more research around what's called now hypothalamic amenorrhea, which is what I had, so a lack of menses after having menses.
What's a lack of what? Menses.
Oh, menses. That's a medical term for menstrual cycle. Menses. Okay. Yeah, I know. I learned you can't a lot just, from this.
That's so funny that they've got like a shorter version than the rest of us do.
And then after a good 18 months of really trying hard to work through my psychology, to work around the food stuff and the minerals, and just things weren't doing what they weren't doing. I was still like, I was a little bit higher, but it wasn't anything. And then I went away for a trip with Dylan, and I ate like a load of food. I was like, I'm just going to go to town. But I trained hard as well.
Yeah,
I got my results. I did another set of tests after I got back, and they'd gone even worse. Like, they'd gone worse. And I was like, okay, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And second of all, okay, then I realized that training is the stressor as well. And there's a lot of research around, and this is my journey. Everyone's journey is very different. But there are lots of studies that outline to get back your menstrual cycle, you need to stop all stressful activity. So that is work, training, any type of training. And you need to eat in excess calories, so 2,500 or more.
Yeah.
And for me, it took me 6 months to, like, quote unquote, call it going all in. So it took me 6 months of like trying to balance, do I do this? And then change everything that I'm about, like my whole identity. I didn't care about having children. That wasn't even a thought. It was more like you need a menstrual cycle as a female. It's just, it's what you need. Unfortunately, but we do.
It's rude.
And then, and I think women severely underestimate the power of nutrition when it comes to your menstrual cycle. And I underestimated it, and obviously the training element too. So then I stopped all of my training, and I ate fucking whatever was available. I had ice cream sandwiches. I'll get a brioche bun, put some ice cream. I was like, why not? Calories are tasty. I just had like the, it took me, and I cried probably at least once a week, twice a week for about 6 months until I gained 15, 17 kilos in 6 months.
And this is like, when I used to live in Brisbane, Jess and I would go to like Grilled for dinner, and I'd be like chowing down on like a burger and chips, and she had like her weights, and she would ask for like the burger without the bun, and she would weigh everything. So like, this is going from that kind of like, full blown, like obviously bikini bodybuilding, where you are like so strict about every single gram going into your mouth. And like, we used to train together, and I could not even like, keeping up with you was not a thing. Like, you were just on a different plane. There was no way that I would have been able to, like, you were just so far ahead of us all. Right. And like, you know, that's like not having a goal at all. Like, you were just very, very fit. It was the person that you were.
Well, that was the goal that I was seeking at that time.
Right. And like, it was your whole identity. Totally.
And then obviously that I would say that became less of the identity before I went into this, like, all in approach. But it did make me honestly highly value one, nutrition to start with, and then two, like, females are meant to have menstrual cycles, like, regardless. Like, and if you lose it, regardless if you're 100 kilos and you go into a deficit and it affects your menstrual cycle, that's an issue.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I have a lot of clients now, like, oh, I haven't had my cycle in 40 days. That's normal. Not normal. Not normal. And then, so biggest thing, what I didn't care about having children at this point, because it wasn't on my radar. I just wanted to have a healthy menstrual cycle. And then for me, and like, you can quote unquote, I was infertile for 10 years. I was actively trying to do it without contraception for 2 years. And the thought process around becoming pregnant, not becoming a pregnant ever, crossed my mind, and it was a daily battle. But the end goal was far more greater than the current shit situation that I was in to get it back. And it really highlighted to me, infertility is highly related to one, stress, and two, nutrition, and the bioavailability of nutrients. I can't emphasize the importance of nutrition from a nutrient point of view, not necessarily like all of the carbs and all the calories. It's nutrients and micronutrients.
Yeah, like your minerals and vitamins and things like 100%. That, like your levels. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I deep dive, because when I do something, I'll research the crap out of it before I do something. So I deep dive into so much stuff, and I found so many, like so many people had helped their fertility by addressing these issues. And it's obviously not everyone, like it's a very broad spectrum, but a lot of people who tried IVF for multiple cycles and they couldn't fall pregnant, then they became less stressed, because like, I'm just going to leave it, I'll go and adopt, become less stressed about the situation. They didn't care much, like they just started being a human again, as a thing, so caught up on becoming pregnant, they fell pregnant, because they wouldn't put such pressure on them. And as soon as I let go of my pressure on getting my cycle back, it was back within 6 months. And like, obviously I did all the other things to help with it. But I stopped worrying about it. And I know that you probably have lots of people in your circle that have had the same or similar situation.
Totally. Yeah. And all very different. I think the whole, like the topic of infertility is such a loaded one and such an individual one. We spoke to another friend of mine recently, and she had a totally different journey with infertility. It's so interesting to hear it. And I think, you know, you have to applaud people like you, Jess, because like I said, you completely changed your identity. And no, it wasn't necessarily to become a mother in that particular circumstance, but obviously that was also, you know, it's also a thing, right? Like you don't really want to be told like, hey, you can never have babies and have that choice taken away from you. You know, you might sort of sit there and say like, oh, I don't want kids. But if you were told you can't have kids, totally different, like totally different sentence.
You're not, definitely not wrong there.
Yeah. So once you got your cycle back, did you then sort of go, oh, you know what, I might actually want one of those things that scream at me.
Yeah, well, I guess the end goal was obviously to get a menstrual cycle and then to have kids. Yeah. Like for like myself, I've never longed to be a mother. Like I've never thought that was going to be a thing. Like I think, you know what's going to happen. Yeah. I don't want to become old and decrepit and not have anyone look after me or for me to be like wanting to have kids. So and I knew there's always that little thing deep down. You're like, you want to get your cycle back because essentially you want to be the thing that you're born to become, which was a mother.
Totally. You want to be able to do the thing that our bodies are supposed to be designed to do.
Exactly. So when it comes to like to that aspect, like when I got it back, it was more like it was more like, okay, that's just a huge relief on just everything. Like I don't have to worry about if I can or cannot have kids. I don't have to worry about the implications of not having a menstrual cycle, because like it's not just men, it's like the hormones play it such a role on muscle mass retention,
everything,
on hair health,
sleep,
on like depression and anxiety. Like hormones are very undervalued things.
Totally. They run your body. Like they run everything. Yeah. They are involved in every single process that your body goes through. Yeah, totally.
So that was the biggest thing, was like getting, because now I cry, which is kind of annoying, but now I have hormones, so now I cry. When I had Rose, and obviously you go through that like weeks of just bawling your eyes out for nothing. I was like, this is not me. What are these hormones? it was more like, yes, okay, I can relax now. I've got it back. But you can't relax because it still takes a number of months after having your first cycle to then start to become regular.
Yeah, totally.
If you're not going to say, okay, got it back 28 days, letting in to get another one. No. It took me another two and a half months to get my second cycle.
Yeah, right.
And
Was that triggering for you? Like after everything that you went through, like, was it like you obviously got your cycle back and then you felt pregnant?
I got my first cycle, and then I reckon the worrying of getting the second one's worse because you don't know, you don't want to fuck it up. Like you can't go back to training. You still need to eat in excess calories, but you can sort of maybe incorporate some light stuff. This is like my journey. Because you don't want to fuck it up because you can go backwards.
Yeah, totally.
A lot of people do. And there's a lot of communities around this to help, like the psychology around it. But then on my second ovulation, like I became pregnant. So it was like,
okay.
Great. Like it was expected, but also not expected. Because you're like, you know, you do want the deed that's going to, you know, produce.
Like you're kicking a ball at the goalpost with no goalie. Yeah. Like, it can happen. Well,
it's more like, because I didn't, like if I would have known my cycle and known when I ovulated, like I still got ovulation tests and stuff, but I was up and on holiday, so I didn't. Probably because I relaxed and didn't. And then that, you know, obviously then I felt pregnant with Rose, and obviously then I was like, oh, okay, so this is happening now. Which I was very thankful for, because one, I had a new body, and I didn't want to be, this is my own personal bias, I didn't want to be a mother past 35, because I wanted to have them in my prime. And then when I'm 50, I can be like, bye, I'm going away now. And I still have that life after 50. That's my own personal bias. So I was pretty okay, sweet. That's sorted.
We've done it. So like, obviously now you've had your daughter. I'm not going to go asking if you're planning on having more kids, because I think it's a really rude question.
The amount of people that have asked me that, and I'm like,
when are you giving Rose a sister?
What if I was having issues? Like if I couldn't, if I had a miscarriage, like people just need to shut their mouth.
Like, I think, you know, I would obviously ask you that off air, but like, I'm not going to ask you on this when there's, you know, potentially multiple people listening, right?
But I do but, like, think I'm, we're close friends, to be right? Very conscious of asking other individuals 100%. If they were having another one.
Totally.
Like, you don't know their story. Like, you may or may not know their story, but just but, none of your business.
Yeah, exactly. And like, even if they're going to fall pregnant, right? Because, you know, if somebody had asked you that, like, that might have been a real thing for you.
But the answer is no. There is no no thought process around that at the moment.
No, I'm just wondering, like, what is, you know, like, what's your plan now that you've got your cycle back and now that you've sort of, you know, come out of the other side of that? Like, obviously, you're kind of, I guess, faced with the who am I now, right? Like, you went from, like, you know, bodybuilder, super fit, super, you know, into your, you know, into what you're putting into your mouth. I won't even necessarily say health, because, you know, clearly it was an issue there, to, okay, I'm having a baby, and like, that's really, like, that's what we're focusing on right now, to now I'm postpartum, and I obviously am not going to go back to that, you know, bodybuilding sort of thing again. But I'm also a parent. Like, what are you kind of doing to make sure that you maintain your like menstrual health?
Well, just to start for that, I've got no idea who I am anymore, by the way. Like, I know who I am, but I also don't know, because like, what you thought would be, you know, normal is like, I think that's probably the most, that's the hardest part about being postpartum is not the baby. Baby's easy.
Yeah. It's the other crap.
Who are you?
Totally.
Like, you are slightly changed. You now have to change your priority.
Fuck, mate. Your journey was not mine.
I know. You're not who you were. And I think that's what I'm having issues with, is that like
that identity crisis. Yeah.
God knows who the fuck I am anymore. I'm still trying to figure that out. But like, slowly getting it. I think that for me would be points of my postpartum, not depression, but like, let's say sadness, because I'm mourning this individual that I used to be, that I can't just buy a flight and jump on a plane that I used to, or I can't go and do whatever I wanted to. Like, I have to be at home by 5 to do the nighttime routine, to have a bed, and then done. Not go out for dinner at 7 p.m. with my girlfriends. But like, it's having that freedom sort of, quote unquote, taken away from you. But then also work. Like, work is a big thing for me, but now I don't want to work as much.
Yeah.
But I do, but I don't.
Yeah. It's a big thing for sure.
But when it comes to menstrual health postpartum, I got my cycle back 9 months postpartum. And I still breastfeed. So they always say that's normal. And then I waited to see, I haven't done anything different, to be honest. I haven't gone into a diet. I haven't done anything differently. But I know that my cycles are very long now. So they're like 45 days. I think I'm due for one shortly, and I'm way overdue for that, which means if it was to happen again, because I've only had 3 now, if it was to happen again really, really long, I would then start to look at my nutrition. So am I ovulating within those 14 days, like from day one? And if I am, and then it's a it's an issue with certain minerals. Like, generally, I would then look at things that have progesterone within them. And I would look at, how can I shift my diet to facilitate my menstrual cycle? That would be my first point of call before I looked at anything else. Because yep. I know that stress is there as well, but if I can adjust the nutrition and if that fixes it, fantastic. And if it doesn't, then I'll look at my stress. Yep. And not the other way around, but that's just how I would do it.
Yeah.
But if your follicular phase, as we know, your luteal phase, sorry, is generally when most people have their longer time through. So from the point of ovulation to when you start your cycle, mm-hmm. if we look at what you're doing from a nutritional point of view, that's what I'll do next cycle, depending on when this one comes, because I haven't really been tracking it. But they always say allow 18 months for it to go quote unquote normal, but why not intervene if you can?
Totally. Yeah. I think, you know, obviously having a baby, the hormone changes that go through your body. I think, what do they say? It's like not until 2 years postpartum that your mm-hmm. hormones have kind of like returned back to sort of like some sort of baseline.
Yeah.
So yeah, like things like this can definitely be a thing. But Jess, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. I think that this has been a really interesting conversation. Some of the different sort of fertility issues that people can have, and like a really open conversation about, you know, the P word that we were all taught to fear in school, and you know, blah blah blah.
Mm.
I remember like
female gym, and like it's totally like it's becoming making that such a custom conversation.
Yeah, which is like, so important. Mm. So important. Like I remember in high school, I'll finish it off with a really embarrassing personal story. We were at the bus depot and like one of the boys grabbed my bag and opened it and found this tin in it that had like my tampons and pads and things and opened it, and they went like all over the ground. And oh my God, I remember I went like beet red. It was so embarrassing. But like things like that, obviously when we were teenagers, it was like a real like embarrassing thing, right? And I think Em spoke to one of her friends recently who said that, you know, in terms of cycles and periods, like little girls are getting them really young now, like a lot younger than what we did. So, you know, some kids like as young as I think it was 8 or 9 and now getting like it's normal for them to be getting their periods around then. So I think it's wild, and that's terrifying because that's like 6-7 years down the track for me.
They got to deal with some stress, man. They got way too much stress in their life.
Totally. But I think it's really important that these conversations are opened for our daughters so that they don't have to endure the same like false information and the same stress and shame that we did around our menstrual cycles and around like
the natural process that females have. It should be no, and like, man, and like boys, my God, well, even females, they look at a tampon, like, oh, I'm like, well, it's not opened.
Yeah
like
it's fine, it's not like it's you? It's not like I've just like ripped it out of my blood, you know. I'm not going to finish that sentence, but no, yeah, totally.
And around it, like, we need to like honestly break.
Yeah, and I think it's really good, like opening up these lines of conversation and communication and sharing openly about them is going to mean that, you know, our daughters are potentially not doing things like being on the depot shop for 6 or 7 years because they don't want a period, or, you know, like other contraception, you know, like other forms of contraception that they're having, that we can have those conversations and, you know, make sure that they don't completely fuck themselves up hormonally like we all have.
Yeah, hormones are necessary. Periods are necessary.
Totally. Very natural thing. But thank you so much for joining us again, Jess. We have really, I have very thoroughly enjoyed this. Guys, if you love this episode, please remember to like, share, review. We absolutely love hearing from you guys. If you would like to follow Jess again, her Instagram handle is at Jester, @JESTER__. She shares a bunch of stuff about her life and heaps of tidbits about training, and every now and again you get to see her beautiful little girl Rose. So do go and follow. We will pop her handle into the show notes. But yes, thank you so much, and we will see you next time. And that is a wrap on today's episode. If you've enjoyed the chaos and laughter as much as we have, don't forget to hit that follow button, share with your besties who need a good laugh, and give us a like.
Don't forget to check out our Feel Good Parenthood courses, where we tackle all things toddlerhood and sleep. Our Facebook group is open and ready for you now too. Show notes have the deets.
Until next time, keep rocking your parenting game, and remember, you are doing an incredible job.